Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
First installment of Casket Empty. But good news, we've moved over to the T on the empty portion of Casket Empty, and T stands for teaching. By the way, you guys better get this acronym because I'm going to quiz all of you at the end of this series. And T stands for teaching, and really what that does is that's like the epistles, the part of your New Testament. They're actually letters or emails that the Apostle Paul and Peter and other apostles, they actually emailed out, if you will, to other churches, and oftentimes it was used to correct, to encourage, to instruct. And so we're going to get to see some of the apostles' teachings. And I thought if we're going to start with one, let's just start with one that everybody knows. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're going to know Philippians 4:13. And that is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I promise you, some of you have a t-shirt with that on it, or a coffee mug, or a painting, with someone like lifting barbells or something like that, right? And I hope to bring like clarity to this verse a bit today. Because when you look at it in its context, it's a little bit different than what we might imagine. So there's a guy by the name of Steph Curry. Have we heard of him? Plays for the prolific shooter, NBA player. He actually revolutionized the game of basketball. Okay, and so Steph Curry, pretty big deal. I don't know if you knew this, but he's a Jesus guy. He's Team Jesus all the way, man. God-fearing family. And on all of his shoes, if you'll notice, he has the verse Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. And when I watch him on the basketball court, I think maybe he can. But what's amazing is I tried putting that on my shoes. And guess what? I stink, okay? There's another guy, UFC light heavyweight champion. His name is John Jones. Now, he didn't put it on a piece of clothing. He tattooed on his chest Philippians 4:13, and he became known as the light heavyweight champion of the UFC. Now, he also got busted for anabolic steroids, so that might have had something to do with it as well. But here's what I promise you. As a ex-NHL player who I had 95 fights in my NHL career, And the records, if you please don't Google and look at it, but it said that I won 5 of them. All right, so if you do the math, that's 90 losses. And so I could write it in Sharpie marker on my chest, and if I get in a fight, I'm probably going to lose. All right, I can recall as well. I don't know if any of you, if you've been a Christian for a while, this group might stoke some memories. Have you ever heard of the Power Team? So some of us have heard of it. So this is what this is a bunch of weightlifters, ex-NFL guys who fell in love with Jesus, and now they thought, wow, I can use my feats of strength to kind of draw in people to share the gospel. And so what would happen is I was a young Christian. I was about 12, 13 years old, and I got to see these guys, the Power Team. And I had always seen kind of these wimpy kind of dudes that don't love Jesus and, you know, that. And as a guy, to see somebody, these massive guys with veins bulging out everywhere, and then they begin to destroy stuff on the stage in the church. And I'm like, is this allowed? This is awesome, man. And they began to destroy cinder blocks. Guys would break out of handcuffs, and at the end of it, they would always testify, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. So listen, I tried to break out of the handcuffs, all right? I had to get help and get the keys, right, to get out of the thing. It just didn't work. But here's what I'll tell you, and after being a Christian for several decades now I can look back on my life, and I can see moments in my life that I realized, wow, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? When I got to marry my high school sweetheart, like that was a pretty high in my life. And you know what? I've also been dumped. And through both of those things, I realized, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know that I was drafted into the National Hockey League? 1% of people on the planet get to do that. I was drafted into the NHL at the age of 18. And then also at 33, I was forced because of a series of injuries and infections, that I was forced to retire. That's a pretty low for me. And I realized through all of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The birth of my two daughters, it's a pretty watershed high moment in my life. And you know what? There's also been moments in my marriage when, can I just say, it was difficult. And through all of that, I realized, wow, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And so that's what I want to talk to us about, because listen, I never want to pander to you and lie to you. Like, if we're honest, we realize that life doesn't always go up and to the right. Isn't that true? Like, a lot of times it's much more of this than it is up and to the right. And if you pay attention to the Bible doesn't shy away from that. Like we all love Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But do you remember what he says? Oh, man, he leads me beside still waters and green pastures. But guess what? He also leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. So we can see that. Jesus doesn't hide from this fact. He said that there's going to be two types of people on this planet. Some people are going to build their life on just the ways of this world, and other people are going to build them on my word. And here was the promise. Storms are going to come. Sure, there's going to be bright, sunny days, but he assured there's going to be storms coming as well, and only one of those homes is going to stand. And those that build their house on the rock. See, what he's saying is, you'll be able to do all things through Christ who will give you strength. There's actually two books in your scripture that kind of highlight this. We get the book of Ecclesiastes. It's written by a guy named King Solomon, the wealthiest man that ever lived and walked the planet. He was a king. He could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And you know what? At the end of his book, he realized this. It's all vanity. The only thing that matters is Christ. Then you get Job, the other end of the spectrum. This dude loses everything, and I don't know how it could get any darker. And at the end of that book, he says, you know what? The only thing that matters is Christ. And so we can see here that this is the big idea. So this is your takeaway. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God may remove the storm from our life. He may speak a word and calm it. Or he might say, you're walking right through this thing. But I promise you, you're getting through to the other side. Because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so, Lord, I pray you give us grace. Lord, I pray that we would be, a peculiar people in this. That people would look at us and they would say, what is the strength that they're tapping into? The secret. And I pray that we would learn that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, let me read Philippians 4, 11 through 13, the full context. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, it says this. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And then Paul says this. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. Now, if I was one of those preachers, I'd say, say with me the secret. I'm not going to do that. The secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So here's what I want to do. I want to see if Paul's full of it or not. Like, let's just see if that's true, Paul, as we examine your life. And so let's check him out. Let's see if he's truly able to abound and yet have Christ be the end goal, right? I've heard this quote that we're most vulnerable when we're most comfortable. And I wish it wasn't true, but it really is. Like, we remember King David, man, he was great when he was killing giants and doing all that. But when things were going well, you know what happened? Bathsheba happened. And it was just this, set off this chain of events in his life. I can remember, we'll do a little fight thing. We had a heavyweight fight last night, so I'll give another fight story. I remember I was fighting one of my 95 fights, a guy named Rick Tockett, who was much tougher than me. And so we dropped the gloves, and so we started fighting, and I'm thinking to myself, while I'm fighting him, I'm doing really good. And then the next thing I remember, picking myself off the ice after he sent me to the third heaven, okay? And so when we're most comfortable, we can be the most vulnerable. And so Paul's ministry, like, there were things he did that made him seem otherworldly. Can we agree? Like in Acts chapter 20, he's preaching a sermon, goes a little long like pastors will do, and he says this, there's a guy by the name of Eutychus, he falls asleep during Paul's message, so it makes me feel better. And he crashes down from the second floor of this home, and he dies. And so everyone's gasping and all that, but not Paul. Paul just goes over and quit being dead, get up. And he gets up, he raises this dude from the dead. So now I don't know about you, so I'll just share a little story. Like early on in my pastoring career, you know, we would do some, I don't know if it's a career or whatever, but so I go to the front and, you know, we minister at the front afterwards. And this one lady came up to me afterwards to receive prayer for healing. And I remember I laid my hands on her. I started praying and she just went down and just crashed down to the ground like that in front of everybody. And there was like a, like that. And just for a split second, I had this, you better recognize the power of God thrown through me, right? And so I just can't fathom raising somebody from the dead and then not having this insidious pride try and be grafted in. But what happened is Paul realized I can do all things now through Christ who strengthens me. There's another time where Paul, his handkerchiefs or any article of clothing that he would just kind of rub it on himself, give it to you, and what would happen, it would heal any sickness, any disease. In fact, it would actually, it would cast out demons. And so, now listen, have we seen this infomercial before? Like, tell me, like, but we don't hear about Paul going, hey, just dial in 1-800 for your one-time mandatory love offering of $1,000, and I will rub myself with this, and then, you know, he doesn't do that. Why? Because you realize, man, no, I can. The only way I can do anything is through Christ who gives me strength. Acts 19 is this. It says that there's seven sons of Sceva. They were just Jewish exorcists, and they confronted one demon-possessed man, and they tried to cast the devil out of this guy, much like Paul would do. And so he says, we adjure you by the Jesus who Paul preaches, come out of this man. And I love the demon's response. He says to him, huh? He says, Jesus I know, and get this, I've heard of Paul. Like, how amazing is it that the demons are like, man, that Paul, you don't want to be messing with that dude, man. He's got Christ in him, the hope of glory. And so, and in fact, Paul had such a profound revelation of the spirit realm that he says, man, I went to the third heaven. And so he says such ridiculous things like, do you know that the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3 years in the flesh, that Peter's go, he's like, I know you've been reading the works of Paul, and they're a little bit confusing. Like Peter couldn't comprehend some of the spiritual truths that Paul did. That's why he writes in 1 Corinthians, I know I'm reading 1 Corinthians, and Paul says, don't you realize you'll judge angels? And I'm like, no, Paul, I didn't know that, you know? And so there's these profound things, but through it all, there's this humility that marks the life of Paul. Like, pride didn't take him out of the game. Like, millions of other ministers of the gospel, how it's happened before. Why? Because he realized, man, the only way I get through this thing is through Christ who gives me strength. Let's look at this. So not only through the high highs, but Paul's like, hey, I know how to be a base, too. Like, when my life unravels, I'm still okay. I found the secret. And so, how about this? It says that Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. And so we don't know exactly what that was, but we do know it was tormenting Paul. And he's like, he asked Jesus 3 times, Lord, take this thing away from me. And do you know what the Lord's response was? No. But then Paul had this revelation. Like, he says this. He goes, do you know what? I've learned to glory in my weakness because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. See, what he's saying is when I'm weak, it really makes me dial into Jesus. And so there's this new perspective he has. I don't know about you, when Jesus says no to me, I tend to pout for a while. Anybody else? But not Paul. He's able to get this perspective where, no, God's going to work this for my good and his glory. How about this? He's in prison. We remember last week we talked about him. He was in a Philippian jail. And he was in the innermost cell. And I don't mean to get graphic again, but it was in the innermost, so it was in the lowest part, and all the human excrement would go there. He's actually chained up, contorted, lying in human waste. And his response that bubbles up in him is to sing worship. Anyone have their life just go get a little Yeah? Just ever feel like, Lord, my life stinks. I'll put it that way. And yet my response is not usually to sing praises to God, but it was Paul's because he realized, man, I can get through anything in Christ who strengthens me. And then my last one that is really kind of, I'm almost embarrassed that it's amusing to me, is at the end of the book of Acts, he's arrested, beaten, and then he's on a ship on his way to Rome. And as he does, the ship, it actually goes through rough waters. Everyone thinks they're going to die. And then what happens is they actually are into the water, and then they get rescued. They wash up on the shores of Malta. And so Paul gets through all this just heartache, and at every turn he's going to die. And then he starts building a fire to warm himself. And you guys remember the story? A snake comes out and bites him, and it says that it latches on to Paul. You know what he does? He says he shakes it off into the fire and just keeps going. Yeah. And I read that, and I'm like, I would be like, come on, God. You know, wouldn't you? I wouldn't shake the thing off. I'd shake my fist at the Lord. But we just see that Paul, he says, man, I can get through all of these things in Christ. And so this is the secret, Paul's secret I want to share with us today. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in all things. And so I have some, you know, the etymology of the word content, it's content. So in other words, or what's inside of you. And that's the word picture I want to leave with you today. I brought some props for you today. And so, Matthew, come here. We're going to work together. All right, buddy? All right, so Matthew. So here we have, I have an empty can. Say hello to everybody on Facebook Live, buddy. You're awesome, man. All right, Matthew. So I'm going to need this. So we have this empty can, Matthew. Show everybody your muscles and smash this thing. Both hands. Like, whoa. Come on, give it up for this man. The power team. Right here, right? Awesome, Matthew. Now I want you to go at this one, brother. This full can. Come on, man, get it. Come on, somebody help him. Let's help him. Come on, Matthew, you got this. You got it. You can do it. Oh, I know, brother. I tried it, too. I couldn't do it either. Fist bump. All right. And so here's we see. Why? Because, oops. So here we have is this idea of, see, the empty can, it's easily crushed. But when we're filled up with something, suddenly life can press us, but we're not crushed. And so that's the picture is this. And so there's a book out. Full disclosure, I didn't read the book. I read the summary of the book. All right, we good? And so it's called this, The Hack of the American Mind. And here's the big idea is looking at society today is that there's been this hack over our happiness. And here's what we said is we've traded happiness, we've confused happiness with pleasure. And so the book is, the guy's not a Christian guy that I know of, but the premise is this, that there's a neuroscience behind happiness and pleasure. That happiness has to do with contentment and the drugs, the serotonin that's in our bodies. It's the happy drug. Pleasure is something that it's a high rush and then it crashes really fast. And so what happens, those are endorphins. And when you have endorphins, it drives back serotonin, okay? And then you just need more and more of these pleasure moments. You need more and more to satisfy less and less. And so what we've done is we've confused the two. And now we've spent our life chasing pleasure at the expense of contentment and happiness. He says that actually there's four C's. In his book, the guy must have been a pastor or something. He's trying to make them all rhyme. But he says, here's the cure if you find that you're lacking in happiness or contentment. And he does these four C's. And it's amazing to me how much they sound like the Bible. Here's the first one is this, is connection. Like, you need to connect with people. And so does that sound familiar to anybody? So we have this thing called connect groups. Who knew, right? That the idea is this, is that and don't, he says, don't for, confuse contact with connection. So we have contact with people all over the place, but we're not connected to anybody. And so this is what we strive for, connection with other people. It does something to the serotonin levels and the contentment in our heart. Here's the other one. He says, contribute. That there's something about contributing, giving out to other people. I think I've heard that somewhere before too. Anybody else? Like, it's better to give than to receive. I love, I was watching CNN this week. Don't worry, I watched Fox too. I watched them both. And so CNN, it had this unbelievable headline that the research is in, and here's what they found out, is this: random acts of kindness are good for your health. Thank you for that, you know? And so here's another one, cope. Cope is the third C, and that just means this: is there some essential things that you need? You need sleep. You need to drink some water. These simple things that we do, but actually it helps the serotonin levels kick up in our life, and we feel more content and more happy. And the last one is cook, which sounds weird, but the reality is that 95% of the serotonin produced in your body is produced in your digestive tract. So my appeal to some of you that are discontented, eat a vegetable, all right? Can we just add a fifth C to this? Christ? Can we just say Christ is the one that can fill us up, that we'll never find contentment until we find our contentment in Jesus Christ? I love Augustine. He says this. He says, we can never do things for Jesus until we do life with Jesus. And so that's what we're striving for, is withness, to be with Jesus. And so let's take a look at this. See, if you're not with Jesus day to day, you're going to be vulnerable to discontentment. And I think I have the Bible on my side. So let me do this. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the very beginning. And if you remember, God creates everything. He creates humanity, Adam and Eve. And then we're sitting together in the garden, and we're with God each and every day. We've walked with Jesus in the garden, okay? And so this is taking place, and so we're content. But then if you go to Genesis chapter 3, you know, for the first time in the Bible story, God's not present in the narrative. Now, we know God's omnipresent and he's everywhere, but for whatever reason, the presence of God in the life of Adam and Eve, we don't see him in the story. And who comes and fills in that vacuum? Well, there's the serpent. And do you remember what he began to do? Sow discontent. Did God say, why won't he let you have that fruit? All these different things, and seeds of discontent began to go, and then it made everything start to unravel in their life. And so it's through withness that we're able to stir up contentment, happiness, and joy that gives us the power to walk through everything victoriously. Like, I'll share this one. Do you guys remember the church's first martyr? There's a guy by the name of Stephen. They're stoning this man to death, and if you read the account, it's really unreal. Like, have you ever seen somebody get hit with an object? Like, it's pretty gruesome. And yet they're stoning this guy to death. And it says he sees the heavens open, and he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then he begins to pray for everybody. And I'm like, hey, dum-dum, don't you know you're dying? And it was like he was so preoccupied with withness that he didn't even have time to die, that he was just like, man, he went right to glory in that moment. And so witness is unbelievably important. And so what lies are you believing? So there's another one. By the way, I got this one from Fox News, okay? And so I don't know if you saw this, but there's a girl, Natalia Taylor. She's an Instagram influencer. I don't know if she's a believer or not, but she actually was letting people in on her trip to a luxurious resort in Bali. And so I think we have a picture of her. This is her in the spa. And so there's her Instagram followers, like, checking, you know, check me out, living large in Bali. And then we have her, like, in the hotel lobby. I think we have a shot of her there. And then here she is in her outdoor space, overlooking the water. So great, right? And then what we really come to find out is she's not in Bali at all. She's in IKEA. And so she just went from scene to scene in the IKEA places. Oh, by the way, IKEA of Ohio, okay? God help us. It doesn't get more worse than that. And so what they're doing is, see, don't believe the lie. And because it's all IKEA. I promise you, and listen, what I say today is not going to change you, but I pray the Holy Spirit will, because a lot of us believe the lie, if I just had more money, I would be happier and more content. And brother ain't against it, having a little bit of dough, but it's a lie. Do you know that we're the wealthiest nation on the planet, and yet we're the most heavily medicated on the planet? Like if money equated to happiness and all that, why is it? It's just not true. Do you know that researchers have found out that once you make over 70K, everything you make over that becomes diminishing returns? Isn't that insane? Like your happiness level does not incrementally go up with your income. And then how about this? How many movies, songs, more money, more problems, all this different kind of stuff? Like we've seen all of them and we know what happens. Get rich and then you get crazy, your family blows up, your life unravels, all this different thing. And so listen, I'm not against money, but the love of money is kind of the root of all evil. And so don't trust in that for your happiness and contentment. It's just not true. You know what it is? It's IKEA. Here's another one. Some of us believe, man, if I could just be more successful, my career hit it a little bit bigger. And listen, God bless you. I hope you hit it out of the park. And by the way, don't mishear me. I hope you guys become filthy rich, but trust that your strength is in the Lord. And then when you become rich, you tithe to this church in Jesus' name. But talking about success, I've always talked about Tom Brady, Tom Terrific, married to a supermodel wife, unbelievably wealthy. He's probably the GOAT in football. And yet, after he's winning Super Bowls, he's like, man, surely there must be more than this. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl MVP, he says, oh, I hope this isn't all I do. Tell me this, whenever you see child stars, tell me you don't just have a little ache in your heart for them, because you know what's going to happen. The success that they experience is going to be greater than their ability to carry it, and it's going to crush their lives. And so we see this time and time again. You guys remember Everybody Loves Raymond? I know, I never watch that garbage. I just read my Bible and all that. But I know some of you heathens watch that stuff. But Ray Romano was funny. He was a struggling comedian in New York City. And then through a series of events, he got his script was accepted for Everybody Loves Raymond. And so suddenly he goes from just being in the outhouse to the penthouse. Before he hit it big, his brother wrote him a letter and put it in his jacket. He took it out. And then the last filming of Everybody Loves Raymond, he stood in front of the studio audience and he told him the anchor that kept him through years of success with Everybody Loves Raymond. And he undid that letter from his brother. And it was Mark 8:36. What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your one and only soul? And he says that was his anchor. Listen, success without Christ, it's IKEA. It's junk. And so let me do this. Let's be real pragmatic. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 21. Okay, that's great, Pastor. How do I get filled with Christ? And so let's figure out if we know that we need content. We need Jesus in our life, and then we can do all things, push through anything that's presented in our life. Let's look at this. And I could have gone to any of the epistles, because Paul seems to have this formula for us to be full of Christ. Verse 15, Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Excuse me. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Get this, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that, Paul? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so point number one from Paul is this, is, man, you want to be filled up with Christ. It begins with thanksgiving. It is the start. It is the doorway towards happiness and contentment and being filled with Christ. It is thanksgiving. The psalmist would say, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving. You got it, because that is the doorway into it. And so we do prayer calls throughout the week. Our staff, we pray often for you. And so I've prayed with our staff for years now. And if you've prayed with anybody for a while, you realize everyone's got a prayer style. don't they? Come on, you've been with that person, Father God, and Father God, and Father God, and Father God, and everybody's, and so there's that one, and so can I let you into some of our teams? So here's what I know is going to happen each and every week, and team, where's Kim? Like, you can shout me out. Zart, you know this is true. Pastor Dottie, can we just make fun of Pastor Dottie right now? I'm not making fun, but so Dottie's prayer thing is she's a prayer warrior, man. She goes, but inevitably on each and every prayer call, you can feel it starting to build up in her life, and she is going to start to cry. Excuse me, not cry, violently sob, all right? Like, women, think ugly cry, okay? Because you can be like, like that thing's going on. And as a team, we're waiting for it. Like, here it comes. I can feel it. Here it goes. Blah! And there it goes the whole time. Pastor Shino Prater, who's not here today, so we can make fun of him. Like Shino, when he prays, it's so funny. He suddenly sounds like he grew up as an aristocrat in London, right? I just want to thank you, dear sir. He said, I'm like, did he just dear sir the Lord? What is that, you know? But Kim, I'm still waiting to get Kim down, so hers is coming. But she was making fun of me because I'm the thank you God guy. Because everything, I'm just thank God, thank you God. Lord, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for that. And so I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad I'm the thank you God guy, all right? Because it comes very easy for me because I just see the goodness of God everywhere. But I realize this, that's not everybody. But the greatest thing is to know if that's not you, then I got some help for it. Then you're going to have to pay attention and get this in your life, because the gateway to getting filled with God is being aware of things you need to be thankful for. And the Bible says this, any good thing in your life is from Him. So that's a great starting point. There's an image. I can't put it up on the screen because there's kids in the room and all this stuff. But go ahead and Google it later. It's actually if you Google this, it's an image. And if you're like over 20 years old, you're going to see it looks like a man and a woman embracing. And it's a little bit racy and all that. Nothing bad or whatever. But you know what? If you're a 13 and below, when you look at that picture, you know what you see? 9 dolphins. So you can Google it later on, okay? But here's my point is this. See, the eye only sees what the mind has experienced and knows about. And so the kids' eyes, they've never experienced like this embrace between a man and a woman. So you know what they see? They picked out the dolphins. And it's funny, the adults and all that, they're just fixated on the guy and the girl, and they don't realize that there's dolphins hidden in the picture. Let me do two more. So we got the one of the three cows grazing. So you guys see the two cows? Does anyone see the third one? So you can get it like kind of in the middle where the white spaces are. You can begin to see there's the third cow in there through the white. We have another one. Do we have the two faces? Does everyone see the two faces? So how many see then the white vase? You see that, right? So here's what we found out is, do you know that our eye is naturally drawn to the dark spaces first and then to the light? And I feel like there's a lot of us that is that way. And so we need to train our eye to look for the light spaces and the things that are good in our life, because it's the gateway to being filled with the Spirit. Number two is this, we need to find God in the one another's. So did you see, like sometimes, man, when I can't get to Jesus, I need to get to the one another's. We just read about it. It says, sing to one another, submit to one another. That in the one another, times when we can't find Jesus, we can get filled up really through the lives of other people. And so we went out, we had guys' night out this last Thursday. Come on, fellas, this is your time. Guys' night out, listen, it got a little bit, a little touchy here and there, so we got like, there's like 18, 19 guys, you know, all around, and we weren't allowed to eat vegetables, it was only meat, because it's guys, and then here's what was kind of funny, is I had to rebuke a few people, it's true, so we had Alex ordered a steak, well done. So he's under church discipline right now. I said, why would you do that to the steak, bro? And then Eddie Rios, you know, as guys were talking about, what's your favorite movie, man? And there's like Godfather and all these different Braveheart. And Eddie Rios, he says, you know what? Sense and Sensibility. It makes me cry every time like that. And I was like, bro, you are on probation. man. So he's on men's group probation. And the only reason you're not kicked out is because we're too small right now. We need to grow. And then I went with Khalil. So I picked up my man Khalil right here. And so we drove over, and I'm like, Khalil, I got you, man. I'm going to pay for your dinner tonight. And so we go out, and so I'm sitting next to Khalil. And Khalil, I go, hey, man, what you going to get for dinner? And I'm thinking he's going to get a grilled cheese or a burger or something like that. He looks at me, crab legs. I'm like, how much do crab legs cost? You know, I'm like, this thing. And then afterwards, he does a change it up at the last minute. He orders 2 dozen clams. And so I'm like, bro, have you ever had a clam? And he's like, nope. And so I'm like, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, if you throw up in my car, bro, you are definitely out of men's group. But here's the crazy thing. Driving home that night, fellas, this is your moment too. Man, I drove home with a full belly and a full soul. Like there's something about, I was filled with this, like somehow between the laughter, cutting up, that there's something of Jesus that kind of filled up my heart in that moment, all right? And so it's in the one another's. And then here's the last thing is this, to fill up your mind with thoughts of God. Fill your mind with thoughts of God. He says, sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so so you guys know, like, and I don't mean to be crass or anything in this, so please take this the right way, but so do you know the New York Jets? It's unbelievable. They position their players any way they can so they'd be optimum for all optimum performance on the field. And so I'm going to show you how crazy this is. Do you know, like, the night before the game, they have to examine the color of their urine, all right? Once again, not trying to be gross or crass, and there's a color chart. And so if it's, like, real yellow, you need to drink 3 cups of water, all these different, and I thought, this is insane. Well, first of all, I had to see if I was prepared to preach that night, and so see how that. But what happens is, like, that is insane. But you know what's even more insane is that we would live our lives in really the most important thing ever, and that is that we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're on mission for God. And listen, we're in a broken, fallen world, that there's a battle of kingdoms going on right now, and God calls us into his great battle and to be ill-prepared. And so here's what we need to do. We need to fill our mind with thoughts of God. Anyone get like a horrible song stuck in their head? Anybody? How many from my older crew, did you guys ever get Rickrolled? Never gonna give you up, never gonna break you down, right? That'll get stuck in your head like for a good time. And so call me maybe, right? Ooh, I just met you. That. So we can get these things like that. Do you know it works positively as well? Thank you. Is that we can get spiritual songs stuck in our head, and it begins to fill us up with the presence of God. Do you know, like, we live in the greatest time ever of technology? How many know that, like, man, everyone's walking around with buds in their ears, and you have a choice. You have a decision. Hey, knock yourself out. You know, listen to whatever, but if you want to, if you're not happy, content, and filled up with the Lord, that's on you. Because you can fill up your mind with thoughts of God and do that. Technology can be used in multiple different ways for you. But here's my promise to you, and then I'm going to end with this. I'm going to ask Kim to come on up. So we have a choice this morning. And here's what it is. So you can either be crushed or you can be filled up with the presence of God. And so we want to be a people of thanksgiving. We want to fill ourselves with thought.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.